Welcome to Today with Jared James. And now, your host, Jared James.
I have hit record.
You have probably already hit record,
correct? I actually just did.
Nice, very nice. All right, well, hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Today with Jared James. I am joined, as has been the case a lot lately, by Linda Yacoub. You want to say hello to everybody?
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
It's nice to do this again.
I know, it's been a little
like
bit.
It's been a minute.
I know, it has been a minute. And of course, joined by Lumberjack Tom.
Producer hello. Tom, everybody.
Tom, your mic is on, right? So I'll make sure, because I've seen it in the past where that's happened. He thinks he's talking into it, and you just hear like a murmur off in the background.
Potentially.
I call him Lumberjack. You guys can't see him right now, but believe me.
He looks cozy.
Yeah, he looks cozy. Speaking of cozy, we're about to look cozy, because we are about to head to Mexico.
Yeah.
The annual family trip.
So you're saying cozy because of the sun, not cozy because of clothes attire.
I have a goal every time to get darker than you. I haven't reached that goal.
Okay, I think you are darker than me.
I'm sorry, into the mic this time? Let's say it again for the people in the back.
I really think you are.
That's not true, guys.
Like, we were having this conversation in the car. I'm like,
baby, the standard is so low for me. It's like you say that, and I think it's because it's like the standard is so low that you're like, oh my God, you look good for a pale guy.
You look great. I'm like, right? You have like red to your tan, and I love it.
Red to my tan.
I
kind of
like that color.
Ah, that's a way to cover that up.
It's like I love a raspy voice.
Do you guys all pick up the guys? First off, a raspy voice is not the same as a little red to your tan. Okay, one is a backhanded slap,
anyway,
and one
whatever.
Is yeah. But we're getting ready to head to Mexico, and both of us right now are in shape. Or as I always say, everyone's in shape. Some people are the shape of a pear. Some people are the shape. Everyone's
okay,
in
but
shape.
Let's also. Clear this up. We're in good shape in general.
We
live a healthy lifestyle.
Yes. No, 100%.
But we like, when
I've dropped. I've dropped.
You dropped a few pounds.
I've dropped.
Quite a few pounds.
8-9 pounds?
Yeah.
Yeah, 8-9 pounds. I'm not staying there.
And you leaned up a bit, built some muscle. It's been kind of fun.
So let's talk about it, because this is actually, we have a lot we're going to get into today, guys, by the way. We're going to talk about the Department of Justice. We're going to talk about capital gains and, you know, whether they're done correctly right now. We're going to talk about some listings, trainings, and some other things going on. But I just want to get to, let's just handle the fun stuff right off the bat, okay? Mm-hmm. So we did a health challenge, which some people joined.
Correct.
And we've been in that group. I've been in the group. You've been in that group making videos every single day, helping people. I mean, just like for the last 2 months, right?
And so this started at the beginning of the year, just like everyone else has their New Year's resolutions.
I made a decision after the Super Bowl that I wasn't touching a drink. And I want to be clear before I tell everybody what I'm doing from now on. It's not like I have some drinking problem or something, or like I'm drinking all the time or something. Like it's, but you know,
you're
alcohol
is a social drinker.
Alcohol is poison. Like, let's just be clear.
It is poison.
It's poison, okay? And so,
and sugar is cancer.
Yeah, sugar is cancer.
Is
alcohol
legit,
is poison.
Actually,
yeah, like literally. And so, at the Super Bowl party, had a great time. I mean, I ate enough Rice Krispie treats for the next 10 years, and I don't regret it. But I knew that after that day, I wasn't going to have one cheat day. Uh-huh. I wasn't going to have one drop of alcohol. I was not going to have, you know, just be done eating by 6 o'clock every day. I was going to work out. Like, I always work out, but I worked out different the last month. Like, I mean, I was working out, right? And I dropped like 8-9 pounds, which for me, first off, everybody says muscle weighs more than fat, which is very true. And so that's an up and down journey, no doubt about it. But like everyone, I have specific areas. I'm 42 years old that like I want to drop and I want to, you know, whatever. And I'm 8-9 pounds down.
Yeah,
and
you look great.
I'm not saying I'm going to stay right there. Like I always stay in a range. But I have made, I don't know if I've, I think I talked to you about this. I have made some life decisions from the perspective that I've made a decision that, and again, full disclosure, I don't drink a lot to begin with. Let me just be clear. But I'm a social drinker. I am a even if I just go out to dinner with my kids, I just have a vodka or two. It's just what you have. It's like, let me have a Tito's Club, whatever. Tito's unsweetened iced tea, you know, whatever, right? And so I think I've made the decision from now on, though, that I'm literally just going to be a social drinker, which means, you know, with friends socially. But like if I go out with my kids for something, nah, there's just no reason.
Yeah.
You know, eating healthy is not – difficult. I don't think crazy difficult for either one of us because we're not, And when I say healthy, I don't mean like nutty, whatever. I just mean like you and I are not people who generally mm-hmm. gorge out on.
We don't binge eat.
No, it's not like and at nighttime we're having 2 gallons of ice cream and a, we're pretty consistent, pretty. Yeah. And then we have our times, we go eat bar food, whatever. But we have a pretty good balance, mm-hmm. right? This last month, I have not been balanced. I have been, and I haven't been crazy either. I just have not had cheat days.
But you know what's interesting? Once you establish a new balance, mm-hmm. like this is the new norm our body has now adapted to.
What do I call it?
Equilibrium.
Equilibrium.
So this is our new norm. I'm down 6 pounds.
Yeah.
And thank God.
I mean, it was getting tough to fit you. I think I speak for Tom when I say it was getting tough to get you in the Tom.
Let's be honest. We talked about this though. I didn't lose 6 pounds until when? The last week and a half.
You were getting so frustrated,
I was so frustrated.
Babe, you look great.
But we get so stuck on that. It's a scale thing.
Scale.
For me. But I also built so much muscle.
Yeah.
That I had, and I build muscle quickly. That I had to. Do more cardio and cut back on carb to lean. And it's crazy. Once you understand like the foods that you need to take, when you should be working out, when you stop eating, you know, all of this stuff, it's the new norm now.
Yeah.
So we're going to go to Mexico and we're going to have fun.
Yeah. Guys, just so you know, when I'm in Mexico, everything I just said to you, I am eating and drinking
we're
like I'm on the Green Mile. I am going to have, I'm going to have every part of my body throwing up white flags going, what is happening here?
Exactly. Like, that's what I was going to say. But like, because we have now
established
a new norm, a new equilibrium, our bodies would be like, waste, not this, not that.
Yeah. Right? Guys, I have a theory, by the way. I call it equilibrium. Yeah. Like you and I talk about this, where like, if you ever seen somebody who loses a lot of weight or somebody who is just that they're consistently at a certain point, mm-hmm. you will notice no matter what they do, whether they eat like crazy, whether they starve themselves, whatever, the body always goes back to that range of that equilibrium, because it's the body saying, this is what's normal to us, this is what we think is, you know. And I believe every person, every body has that equilibrium based on their lifestyle, based on the habits they have, mm-hmm. based on whatever. And so one of the things I said to you was, I'm like, I'm going to go on this trip and I'm going to eat and drink like I'm on the Green Mile. And if anybody doesn't know what that means, just go Google it. And my whole goal is that I've established a new equilibrium.
Yeah.
And my equilibrium was around a certain weight where like within 2, 3, 4 pounds, it kind of stays there. Literally, when I say I want my new equilibrium to be something different, it's like 3 pounds less than that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But for any of you who've ever like lost a ton of weight and then you hit a certain point, you can't do it anymore.
What we call our plateau.
Yeah. And it's like no matter what you do, you eat like crazy, but then you're good for a few days and it goes right back.
Mm-hmm.
Or you starve yourself and you lose weight, but then as soon as you eat a couple times in a row, it goes right back. I'm just establishing a new equilibrium based on the habits of my life. Yeah. And one of those habits is that I'm just going to be like a social drinker. Like socially, when I'm with really good friends and it's worth it and there's a point to it and it's fun and it's whatever, then great. But just casually, I already never drank at home, never drank. Like, it's just not my thing. But like even just in my head, I always trigger that when you go out to eat, I'll grab a drink. And there's not wrong with it. Just for anybody listening, go for it. You're fine. Like if that's your thing, that's your thing. I've just decided for myself that for the most part, it's not that I can't do it. I just don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not worth it for me. It's just poison entering my body that when you look at how the metabolism, how your body metabolizes, it's going to go after that alcohol first, which means anytime it's going after that, it's not going after something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 42. I want it to go after something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love the fact that I won't get into detail here, but like my son the other day, I was doing something, getting ready in the house, whatever. And he actually stopped and he goes, "Dad, you look good." And I was like, I don't know if you guys have teenagers, but they do not hand out compliments. I mean, that was like the greatest thing I could have. I'm like, are you messing with me? Are you serious right now? Or he's like, no. Oh. And I'm like, all right. Well, here we. Yeah. It's all the motivation I needed.
Yeah.
Like I'm on it now.
No, I'm excited. And honestly, I think the past 2 months with this group that we've been really kind of leading on.
Yeah.
And so, encouraging and collaborating with this health group. It's been fun to see like where everyone has started or where they finished. It's unfortunate at the same time, and I mentioned this actually in the group, how many have started and
you see how many start and then they just fall
never,
off.
Yeah.
Yeah, you notice it.
And they fall into that statistic of
how many people just don't. This is why I think like when I say consistency is undefeated, it's why I think it caught on like it did. It's because it's just true. It's so mm-hmm. simple, but it's true. In our health group or in our thing, like it's not some major crazy thing that you or I do or someone else. Like it's just consistency.
Yeah.
It's I'm still posting the videos 45 days in.
Yeah.
You know, when 45 people have dropped off, when, you know, whatever mm-hmm. it is, it's just, and I don't know about you, but for me, everyone's in a different place. I love doing the group, and I was extremely consistent with the group. I'll be consistent after the group. The group's over now, and I'm still consistent today. The group didn't inspire or motivate. I didn't do better because I was in the group. A lot of people did, and they needed that.
Well, they need a community. Maybe that's
for
what
me,
they needed. For
me, what I learned from being in that group was how consistent I've already been.
Yeah.
Because I was going to do it regardless. Mm-hmm. Like, it was happening regardless. But then you see so many people who are in that group who need it, and that's good for them. That's awesome that they, you know, and it's awesome to be able to inspire and put that consistency in front of them. But one of the things I did take from it is that I was proud of myself and you. It's like, mm-hmm. we're doing it regardless.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, that's a closed group. That's not for Instagram. That's not for, mm-hmm. that's just, this is what we do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And so,
Well, they. What is the saying? Consistency always outweighs motivation.
Yeah, consistency is way more.
I mean, there's so many days where you and I are not motivated.
Motivation has nothing to do
exactly.
at all. I always say
exactly.
motivation. I always say motivation's overrated. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not motivated to get in the shower. You know, mm-hmm. You just don't want to walk around as the dirty kid.
Absolutely.
You know, or the dirty person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It sucks that you have to do it every day. It's like, didn't I just do this yesterday? Mm-hmm. But you do it. Mm-hmm. And you do it because you don't want other people to judge you. And what's amazing is when it comes to things like health and otherwise, it's amazing how quickly we will disappoint ourselves before other people. It's amazing how quickly we will do the things that are outward and other people will see mm-hmm. before we will do the things that are inward and that take care
yeah.
of ourselves, because it is so much easier for us to disappoint ourselves than to disappoint other people. And we've kind of come to grips with that. And what you learn in doing all this is that that's not okay. You know, all the stuff you hear, the cliches about I come first. Like, a little bit of selfishness is good. You know, mm-hmm. if someone calls you selfish, it's negative, right? And yet imagine a world where you have no selfishness. Mm-hmm. You need to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You need to, otherwise you're no good to anybody else.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you learn that when you go through a group like that and such, of just how important it is to be a little selfish so that you have something to give someone else. What mm-hmm. do they tell you when you're on a plane? And if those things drop down? They say put it on first before
yeah.
you get to your kids.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're not going to be able to put it on your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn right away that there's the cliche, what everybody says. Then there's the reality of the world where a little bit of selfishness is necessary in order for you to be able to help everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's a powerful lesson to learn from all of that. But
yeah.
Anyway, so Mexico, here we come.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I'm gonna have to get up on my Spanish a little bit.
We have Grayson there for that. Don't worry.
Oh, that's right. My son is just about fluent in Spanish. So, and by the way, when I was in Portugal, I was reminded of the fact that Spanish is way different than Portuguese. Because I walked around trying to be like the man.
Wait, how was Portugal?
I'm the gringo that's going to talk Spanish to everybody. And I'm looking at everybody just kind of being like, you know, and I'm like, what is their problem? Like, I'm talking to them. And then I realize I'm not only not the guy that doesn't speak their language. I'm the guy who thinks he's speaking their language and just looks like an idiot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so
all around.
why don't you get up in front of an arena with thousands of people and say, hola, and realize hola is not how you say hello in Portuguese.
It's all translating.
They're all going, does he think he's in Spain? Like, what's going on right now? You know, and I'm confident. I'm smiling the whole way through. Freaking idiot. Like, idiota, as they would say. I don't know if that's my best Spanish or Portuguese, but idiota.
But real quick, we have a lot to cover, but Portugal was good?
Yeah.
It's great.
Portugal was great.
A couple days there, right?
Portugal is one of these days I'd like to go there with you, because there's places right outside of there that are just gorgeous that I'd love to. But super cool audience. The language barrier, I'm joking, but was not really a thing. Like, a lot of them spoke English. Even the ones who didn't, you know, translators were on the ball. And I felt like it was really – I left feeling like I had more to give,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense. Like, which is better than leaving feeling like, well, that was about an hour too long of training.
Yeah.
You know, I left going, I could have talked about so much more.
That's good.
And it was just good to get back out there. And I had this moment, though, and I said this to you. I was looking at pictures a few days ago.
Oh, yeah. You did tell me that.
I did. I kind of had a moment. I was looking at pictures. We had a bunch of pictures from previous events and stuff. And I'm getting all these pictures in of, like, me in an arena. Like, not one, several different events. And I'm like, I just had this moment where I'm like, I'm a kid that, you know, I grew up and everybody's, like, just telling me to shut up all the time. And, like, now I'm like looking at these pictures of like me talking in an arena with thousands of people, and I'm just like, holy crap. And on one hand, it's so freaking cool. It's so freaking empowering. It's so whatever. But I also love, I love that I loved it. Meaning, when I'm home, I get so into like my dad mode, my daddy mode, my running the company, doing whatever. You don't even think like that. You don't even think like, you know, I talk in arenas. Like, you don't even think of that. And then you see these pictures and you're like, oh my God, like, I'm that guy. I used to see people like this. Like, this is, it's so freaking cool.
I mean, sometimes it's good to look in the rearview mirror and recognize, like, how far you've come.
It's such a, this is so cliche, but it's such an honor. It's like, oh my God, like, that is, I'm that guy. Like, holy crap. And that's, I think every very successful person has a bit of imposter syndrome, which is completely normal, but I think it's good. You know, it's like we all try to get rid of it. And I think it's actually good. To just accept it and move forward. It's kind of like, man, there's been so much stuff coming out lately, and I know this wasn't what we're planning on talking about, but they just did all these studies and everything on why this generation is so anxious and so depressed. And you know what they came up with, why it is? Because they're so in touch with their feelings.
we just talked about this at the Starbucks, literally, they're
coming out with now, all the research is showing that it the reason why they all continue, I forget the word they used, but the reason why they're all depressed, all anxious, all whatever, is because all they do is talk about it all the time. And so when you're constantly going to therapists and you're constantly talking about it on your social, and you're constantly talking to your friends, and we're all just in touch with our feelings, and we're all just, you're literally just exacerbating that feeling. And then what happens is that you get the actual feedback from people who feel bad for you about it, or they show you attention in a world where you want it, and you go, well, I don't want to get rid of that, because if I get rid of that, I don't have that. And then not consciously, but subconsciously, that's what happens. And all these studies are coming out now, and they're like, yeah, the fact that everyone talks about how depressed they are, everybody talks about how everybody has to, you know, for the next 10 years to talk to someone about whatever. They're like, if you would just move on and go run errands. Literally, they said one of the best things you can do is go run errands. And this isn't like my opinion, guys. This is like, this data is now coming out. They're like, one of the healthiest things you can do is go run errands and stop thinking about how depressed you are. Stop thinking about how anxious you are. Go do stuff. But you have a generation now that's just like,
I know.
We just all talk about it. And how are you doing with your anxiety? And here's how I'm doing with my anxiety. Their decisions, and I feel depressed.
Based off
why
all
do
the
I?
Emotions around
oh
them as
my.
Well.
And it, because you just exact, you just, yeah. It, what you feed grows. What you starve dies.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I see a lot of that on the employer side. Like when I was running my previous company and the a lot of that generation that was a part of that company and supporting it, everything is based off emotion. Like whether they stick around, whether they jump around, whether they whatever.
And we are we're just exacerbating. We're just, I forget the word they used. It was a pretty good word that would make me sound really smart right now, but I forget what it is right now. But anyway, so that was really cool, just having that moment and seeing those pictures and just going, you know, wow, and then feeling imposter syndrome, but then living in that and saying, that's okay. I want to feel like an imposter. Because when you feel like an imposter, you feel like you always need to prove yourself. And I think there's something really cool about living in both worlds. On one hand, believing that people should believe what you have to say and listen to you, but then on the other hand, saying, I need to earn this every day.
Do you take the time to reflect quite a bit or no? I feel like you're such a busybody.
Yeah, no, I don't.
That you never sit down and actually reflect how far you've come.
When
you've
I have moments like that where I'll say to you, I've made it a point now. You know, look, I've went through some major life changes the last few years, right? And so it has forced me to really kind of become more human and you know, that EQ side kicks in where you like self-evaluate and you do whatever. And it's forced me to kind of like stop and, you know, the cliche smell the roses, so to say, but just kind of like go, hey, you know, because what happens is that you get inundated sometimes. Here, let's bring this back. So I have taught people for years that the job of any business is to create new problems. Okay. And because the real sign of a successful business is the increase in the size of the problems that they're solving over time. So it's not that they eliminate problems, it's that they continue to have bigger problems to solve. That shows that they're growing, right? And so part of that is that when you get to a point where you're really frustrated or you're having a day where everything's going wrong and it's just problem, 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 part of that self-awareness is to stop and go, why am I in a position where I'm able or we're even dealing with these kinds of problems? It's because we've gotten here. Correct, because we didn't have these problems 10 years ago. And so while it's frustrating and it's difficult and it's stressful, you also have to stop and remind yourself that I get to solve these problems, right? Mm-hmm. I would have prayed to have these kind of problems 10, 15 years ago. And so I've made it a point to kind of be a little bit more reflective, a little bit more...
I think it's important for you to do that. I mean, like I have – someone asked me, like, how do you weigh success, like, for me?
Yeah.
Like, today.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, like, for me, success is a little different. It's more looking back at what the hurdles that I've overcome.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a long way to go still with First Step. We're 6-7 months old.
Yeah.
Right? And we're growing rapidly. But success to me is, like, what – the things that I've had to overcome in the past year, 2 years, personally, whether it's with work.
Yeah.
And that's how I measure that. So that's why I asked you, do you ever take time to reflect?
You're feeling good, though. Come on, though. You've more than once the last few weeks just said to me with different clients that we've signed with First Up and different, you know, you've said to me more than once, like, oh, my God, we got this. And look at this. Revenue. Like,
it's wild to me. I mean, what I was able to accomplish with the previous company to what we've done together with First Up, I've done in 6 months' time, which took 4 years.
Yeah.
Then, right? But a lot of it is because all that testing, all that understanding, all that building, all that system.
You hit the ground running.
It's like we knew what to do.
Yeah.
We figured it out.
Yeah.
But so it's been fun. But I mean, this is just the beginning too.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I just asked if you reflected because it's very rare that I get a text like that from you.
Yeah.
Because you're always what's next, what's next, what's next.
Very much. Very much.
There's always something going.
Yep, very much. And I think a lot of that has to do with, too, you just start to, you know, I see my, well, first off, my older child's been very reflective lately, you know, which puts me in that place. You know, he sent me a video, and it was that song, And I Won't See You Again. And it goes from, like, a video of him.
Toddler playing soccer.
When I was coaching him playing travel when he was a wee bit of a boy. Uh-huh. You know, he could have been one of the midgets on The Wizard of Oz or whatever they call it, little people. Like, he could have been one of those. And then all of a sudden now he's taller than me. And it goes from him playing soccer, sliding in when he was a little boy, to all of a sudden, like, him now, the last year, where he's like a man out there, whatever. Well, yeah. And it's like, I'm like, oh, my God.
Well, you just created his reel.
His reel for soccer, yeah, for recruitment and stuff, yeah. So, yeah. So, anyway, so you start to see these things, and it creates reflection. If you're smart, it creates reflection, you know, to see what you can do better, to see how far you've come, to see what you've done right, to see, you know, like all of it, you know. And I think it's important. It is, you know. Mm-hmm. It's the whole process, right?
Yeah,
what was the thing I said to someone once? I said, I don't climb the mountain to get to the top. I climb the mountain because I enjoy the climb.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to remind yourself that. Like, I enjoy the climb. You know what I mean? Like, and I really do. I love the climb. You know, that's why, you know, the mindset of an entrepreneur, it's like, you know, they can be very frustrating to be around. Because just when you're like, we got it, we're there. We're like, well, we're doing this now. You're like, whoa,
now
we just got
quick.
Here, yeah. You know? And yet, you know, that mentality is always, and it's not because a lot of people think it's because entrepreneurs are impatient and you know, discombobulated and whatever. In some cases, they are. But in many cases, with good entrepreneurs, it's because they enjoy the climb.
Mm-hmm.
And so the moment you get to the top, it's like, well, this wasn't the point. You know, like, great. Yeah. The top lasts. Think about it. How long the climb lasts and how long the top lasts. The climb is months or years or whatever. The top is when we climb, you know, the mountain in Scottsdale, right? It's 45 minutes, an hour, hour and a half, whatever it is, right? And then we're on the top for 30 seconds.
I know.
So if the goal is that, well, that's a problem because we're not going to spend any time here. So when you start to make the goal about the climb, which is much longer, now you set yourself up for success because 99% of the time you're in the thing that you define as success.
Yeah,
you know, and that's the key, you know, learning to love the climb. But anyway, so Mexico, here we come.
Yeah.
Here we come. I can't wait. We're going to have an early morning, but it's going to be absolutely amazing.
It'll be fun
amazing.
To be on airplane mode, disconnect for a little bit, and then get right back to it. Because once we get back, you are like,
Yeah, but I'm we got a lot of things going on. We're about to add, for a lot of you who listen who are in real estate, we're about to add to our site a whole resources page, which is going to have all sorts of templates and scripts and dialogues, all updated stuff you can have for free. All you got to do is put in a name and an email where we can shoot it off to, and we're going to start giving you campaigns. Like, I'm in an all-out thing to help this industry right now. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look at where the industry's at and what's going on, and, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on right now. Like, it's just every day, it's like somebody's standing behind a barricade with a grenade and just taking the thing out. They're going, here's another one, boom, yeah. And they're seeing who's going to last, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm in a thing right now where I'm trying to just shield as many people as possible, you know, so that they're a part of that World War II movie, mm-hmm. you know, when everybody came after the real estate industry and people were dropping like flies and people are getting knocked off and people are getting snipered and people are getting, you know, I'm in it to really, this is when.
Do you feel like it's a lot of noise versus like a necessary noise though? I mean, I feel like a lot
of it is until the last couple of weeks. I was with you and I would completely say that.
Oh my gosh, here we go. Another article with so-and-so.
So let me like, talk about this real quick. So I have said forever, and I really, when all these lawsuit things were happening, okay, mm-hmm. and basically the industry, even though it was NAR and otherwise, the industry got found guilty of colluding and price fixing. You know, please, agents can't even work together on a deal. Now they're colluding and price fixing against consumers, whatever. It's so ridiculous. I don't even know how to, like, how do you collude and price fix in a world where people can go to a discount broker, in a world where people can represent themselves, in a world where somebody can negotiate their commission? It's so absurd, okay? And like I've said before, fought for in court by attorneys who get paid the same way. If you're going to say that because it's a percentage-based deal somehow that makes it unfair. That means that the agent at hand, the salesperson you hire, now doesn't have your interest at hand. Well, then you're not just attacking the real estate industry. You're attacking sales. Sales. Mm-hmm. Think about that. Every time you buy a car, every time you go get furniture, how do you think that works? It's called sales. Like, so that's a whole other topic for another day if we're going to start going down that route. But true to just about everything in 2024 – crazy becomes normal, you know? But a couple weeks ago, I would have agreed with you because I've even said on this podcast, guys, what's changed?
Nothing.
And the answer was nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. So let this one win that. Let this one. Nothing's changed. Like, whatever. Now the DOJ got involved, the Department of Justice. What a name, by the way. Like, they're freaking Batman. You know, the Department of Justice. They're after justice. I want to know who named that, okay? Because once again, true to form, they are putting their noses in areas where it doesn't belong. Not only where it doesn't belong, but where it's not needed. And so the Department of Justice got involved. Now, if you're in the real estate industry, that's the scary one, not the lawsuits. Because the DOJ can do things, whether they're right or wrong, but still implement them. There's been a lot of changes the DOJ has came in the last few years that like made no sense. It doesn't matter if it makes sense.
Yeah.
We said it.
I mean, actually,
and now it's not a jury of your peers.
Correct.
Now it's not it's just Gestapo says so. Mm-hmm. This is what will change. And you get these people, if you look at what just came down from the DOJ, the Department of Justice came out and said they want a decoupling of commissions, mm-hmm. meaning the seller as it works now pays, by the way, the listing agent, and then the listing agent has the ability to pay a cooperating broker. If someone else brings a buyer, they're like, we don't want them having anything to do with compensation to the buyer's agent. Not at all. Now, that becomes a major issue because the same Justice Department that in every area says that they're looking out for the little guy, they're looking out for the less fortunate, they're looking out, you know, for those that are, you know, you know, who have the most issues, who are the most not segregated. What's the word I'm looking for? They're the most harassed, discriminated against. Mm-hmm. When they come out and say no more of it being paid the way it's paid right now, mm-hmm. as net proceeds in the closing, now the buyer, in addition to coming up with closing costs, in addition to coming up with the percentage to put down, in addition to all that, you will now come up with the commission for the agent too. Who's hurting that? It is those that are most vulnerable who are buyers who previously would have been renters, but because of the programs available that they put forth to help these people to buy properties, who now are supposed to come up with thousands and thousands of dollars more to fix this system or whatever, who's going to be affected? It's the most vulnerable. If I'm buying a house and they change the rules and that happens, I'm going to be ticked, but I'll be like, "What? I guess that's the rule, whatever." If Joe Schmo, who works a salary job, saves a little bit of percent at a time, works his way up to getting into a house, whatever, then finds out he's got to drop another 10 grand on whatever, now I can't buy a house. Who's actually...
I mean, that's a big... That could even affect an approval process.
Oh, 100%. That's like, a ton of money. It's absolutely nutty. Mm-hmm. And so they come out and say they want a decoupling of commissions. And here's the funny thing. They say that that they also want no compensation offered, not lowered, no compensation offered in the MLS. And the reason for that is because...
Like displayed in the MLS?
Yes.
Sorry, okay.
Because when a seller offers a certain percent and another seller offers a different percent in the same MLS, so these are competing against each other, that it is going to limit the amount of agents who will show the lower percentage property, and that agent is going to steer buyers away from that property. Mm-hmm. Well, let's deal with this for a second. Number one, just so you know, sales 101, it's called compensation, is about creating incentive. Yes, if you offer more, there's more incentive. But the idea that when you offer less, the buyer's agent is steering the buyer away, that shows you how out of touch this DOJ is. What world are we living in where agents are steering buyers to properties or away from properties? That data war ended over 10 years ago. That was the whole stop giving our stuff to Zillow, stop giving our, you know, whatever. 99% of the time, the buyer is seeing the property on the sites they're on and giving it to the agent and saying, "Hey, would you show me this property? Would you?" You can't steer them away. They have every access to the data that you have. What will happen, though, is when you're making them pay the commissions and not being paid the way that it is right now, the buyer themselves are going to steer themselves and go, "Wait, on this property, I'm not going to have to pay. On this one, I have to cover thousands of dollars to my buyers. I'd like to go to that one first." Mm-hmm. And so, first off, they have no idea what's actually going on in the industry to think that agents are going to steer buyers, because that data war ended years ago. And second off, what the unintended consequence of that is that now you're going to have buyers themselves who steer themselves away from properties. And the other argument the DOJ made was that they want to make this change to ensure that, with that whole steering message, that properties all get the same amount of traffic they should get and that buyers are not steered away from properties. Are properties having an issue getting showings? Are properties having – we're getting 37 offers on every property. So what exact problem are you fixing?
I mean, those only display – I mean, that only affects – for sale by owner homes that are not getting put in the MLS. Those are that's the only one that really affects. Unless the MLS does not syndicate listings, if hypothetically.
So here's my point, though. If you're jumping in and saying that that's the problem you're trying to fix, how is that even a problem right now? It's not a problem. Like, what are you fixing? Do you have nothing else to do with your time that you're jumping in and trying to save? All you're doing is hurting the industry. And again, it's not the industry. You're hurting the consumer. The consumer's the one who's going to pay the price. And then we're going to get to, okay, and then they said, well, you could ask the seller for a concession. It's like a negotiating tool to pay for the buyers. Are you freaking kidding me? So in a 37-offer situation where you already have the consumer dropping appraisal contingencies, dropping inspection contingencies, you can live rent-free in the house for 2 years, you know, 2 months, and you already have the buyer giving up so much because there's so much competition involved. What are you now doing to them when you're making them ask for we'll have a seller concession? Eliminate, eliminate, eliminate. Let's go to these people. So once again, you're now getting rid of the lowest income buyer who can't afford to. They need the concession from the seller. Who are you hurting? And so it's just like the unintended consequences of all this are just
mind-boggling. So you are more like
boggling.
DOJ, just stay away. Leave it how it is. Stay away.
What are you fixing? So you're complicating something that's not fixed. Like, there's no issue there. The issue you said you're fixing isn't happening. There's no issue there. They're all getting plenty of traffic. They're all getting plenty of showing. They're all getting 27. What are you talking about? Like, why are you getting involved here? But you are, in turn, not only not fixing something, you're breaking something. You're hurting those most vulnerable.
Yeah.
So, like, how does that make sense?
I think at some point, like, fair housing is an issue at that point.
Well, that's what NAR is now coming out and trying to say. They're saying this is not in the best bit. There's fair housing issues here. Mm-hmm. There's discrimination issues here. That's what they're now trying to come out and say, NAR, National Association of Realtors. It's like, why do we even have to fight this fight? Like, you literally just want to walk over to the DOJ and be like, are you stupid? Like, are you stupid? Because mm-hmm. it's like, these make no sense. Yeah. Like, and you know me, I'm a logical, you know, whatever. Like, I think all these things through back and forth. And I just go, what are you guys even thinking? It's just stupid. It's stupidity, you know? And, here's the best part. They would like to see the percentage replaced by a hourly fee.
Oh, yeah.
So let's go down this road. First off, hourly fee is already available. No one uses it. You know why? Because it's a terrible idea, okay? Can you imagine a real estate world? Imagine the industry in a world where you are now billing, invoicing your clients hourly. So they've got to trust that you looked for houses the amount of time you did, that you put together that proposal for the amount of time that you did, that you – by the way, what happens when they look for a year and don't buy and you send them a bill for $18,000 and they don't want to pay it? Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't buy anything. I still work the hours. So what's going to happen to our industry now when it's full of lawsuits with agents, brokers versus consumers? And don't think that, those courts are not getting flooded with those.
Yeah, and quite honestly, there's so many systems in place right now, an MLS that sends out client portal stuff, that really I'm not doing anything, but I could say, hey, I should get paid for
it. What the door that opens up
with... I mean, like, there's so many
Door that opens up with billing hourly, and it has nothing to do with... It's not performance-based anymore, yeah. As far as actually purchasing a property, actually getting it at a certain price, actually getting it at... Not to mention, let's go one more level here. So forget about the lawsuits that will happen from broker to consumer, where they're suing consumers because they're not getting paid for the hours that they build, mm-hmm. okay? What does our industry look like right now where it's no longer incentive-based and I get paid hourly, which means do I want you to get that property? Do I want you to get the next property?
I'll make more money if you don't.
I want you to miss out on 47 properties. Mm-hmm. What does the industry look like where do I want a smooth transaction during the third most stressful time in your life, death, divorce, and moving? Or do I want the most difficult transaction we've ever had because I can bill more?
And then obviously agents, I understand what you're saying.
Agents become attorneys. That's what that becomes. And how does that serve the consumer on any level?
And that will force agents to go against the code of ethics.
Because God knows that the image of attorneys is great. So let's make agents
crazy.
It's stupid is the only word.
It's like, just stay in your lane.
Stupidity. It's absolute stupidity.
Well, we'll see how that rolls out. I don't think it's going to be anything like soon, any decisions on that.
So there you go. We say there's nothing happening, with the lawsuits, I was like, we'll see, whatever. When it comes to the DOJ, that's a real problem because they can be stupid and have no kind of accountability.
Talk about lawsuits, though, still. You mentioned the other day, a really good friend of yours sent you a photo of a postcard.
Oh,
like
God.
That stuff is still. Like,
oh, we got the ambulance chasers out. Now there's postcards going out to consumers. If you bought a hold or sold a hold in the last whatever, you may be a part of a class action lawsuit. It's the ambulance chasers you have now invited to our industry.
It is. That's the noise that I'm talking about. That's just like, go away.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. Yeah. DOJ, I wonder how that will play out with NAR.
The problem is that DOJ can do whatever they want.
Correct. I know.
You know, it's not a lawsuit where you can appeal or do whatever. The DOJ is, like I said, it's Gestapo. So when you have idiots that we just decided we're going to, and they don't, and again, they clearly don't understand our industry. Because once you start saying things like you're worried about the agent steering the buyer, guys, the data war ended over a decade ago. You clearly don't understand how real estate works today. And so, and they're going to make rules. That's a problem. And look at, I could do a 4-hour show on unintended consequences here. But imagine the lawsuits and everything. Imagine what does our industry look like where we are actually rewarded for you not getting the house. Mm-hmm. We're rewarded for it taking longer. You go to a closing. Now there's an issue. You know, you bring that buyer through the walkthrough. They don't like how it looks. They don't like that the seller didn't clean it like they should. And unlike before where they'd be like, look, I'll give up $200 for my commission. Let's get it done. What's important is that you're happy. They go, you know what? You can't be taken advantage of here. We need to have our attorney contact their attorney, and we need to go at this right now. We need this to – you can't be taken – and let's make this last another 3 months because mm-hmm. they didn't broom sweep it. There's a lot of good people in our industry. There's also a lot of scumbags. And who do you think is going to get the headlines – in a world where they're billing hourly and it's advantageous for them to take as long as they possibly can, it is not a good outlook. So that's what I think about that.
Yeah.
Hey guys, you're watching this episode. This episode is brought to you, first off, by my company, Jared James Enterprises, or I like to call it just Jared James. I don't like to say the enterprises. But look, guys, we do coaching and training and speaking and all these other kind of things to make you better. And it's funny because I've talked about for years the idea that we're in a pros versus amateurs market. And we're seeing that more than ever right now with hundreds of thousands of agents leaving the business. And so many that have such good intentions, but they're not sure how to really get there, right? Have you ever had a disconnect between what you intended to do and then what your actions actually were every day? And that's why you need a coach, right? I've been watching the news lately, especially sports news, and I'm watching, you know, major coaches getting fired. But the one thing I know for sure is they're going to rehire someone, because the last thing they're going to do is have a group of professionals and not have a coach, because they won't perform at the same level, right? And we are no different. If you're watching this and you don't have a coach, I promise you, you're underperforming. So make sure you check out jaredjamestoday.com. Get yourself a coach. If you're a brokerage, let's get you into brokerage ride training for the whole office. Very affordable. We get them training they need to be a pro and not an amateur, boost their performance, boost their confidence, boost all of it. We can do all of that for you. Second place here, we're also brought to you by another one of my companies called Cleared and Closed. Again, being a pro, you're going to hear this over and over again. You need a transaction coordinator. And so we took this very serious. We believe in it so much that we're offering you a free transaction. So literally, you can come in, use one of our transaction coordinators for a free transaction. They'll do a custom workflow with you, all of it. And if you don't like them, there's no contract. So go to clearedandclosed.com, clearedandclosed.com, and give the experience that your consumers want, that they want to tell somebody else about, okay? And you do that not by doing everything yourself. You do that by running an organization, by running a business, not running around. And that starts the number one hire in every real estate business, whether you're day one or day 20,001, because there's no risk. You only pay if you actually close the file, is a transaction coordinator. So check them out, guys. They're amazing, okay? Do a consult. It'll be worth it. And last but not least, we are brought to you by another one of my companies, First Up, F-Y-R-S-T, firstup.com. If you're a broker and you're watching this, if you're an agent, tell your broker to get on firstup.com. You know, I did something the other day online, and we talked about the difference between spending money, cutting spending, and going all in on investments, because investments bring returns. And there's a difference between checking boxes and buying tech tools so that you can sound good to the agents and having stuff that actually brings you a return. And in this mobile age that we live in right now, what First Up really does is it digitalizes that traditional whiteboard. You know, the old days when you'd come into the office and everybody would talk about their listings that they have coming up, and they would talk about their open houses, and they would talk about all these things. The problem is everybody doesn't come in anymore and gather in those meetings, so that whiteboard's not quite as effective, okay? And so what we've done is we've taken that traditional whiteboard setup and we've digitized it. And so all of those listings that your brokerage has that are between the time of when they get signed to a listing agreement and they actually hit the MLS, you're allowed to promote those within your brokerage. That's completely compliant, completely allowed. And so what we did was we said, get rid of all the confusing Facebook groups and all the group text messages and everything that all your agents aren't paying attention to. We built an app. We built a tool that is so simple. Our goal is not like most apps, which is how long can we keep you on? It's how quickly can we get you off of that app? We want the agents on there less than 60 seconds a day. But what they're going to do is put all of their listings on it pre-market before they actually hit the MLS. It's going to notify everybody within the brokerage, that digital whiteboard, let them know what's coming on. It's going to buyer match, because the agents are going to put their buyer criteria in there, and it's going to let them talk back and forth about a buyer they have for it, because it's going to notify them that there's a buyer that matches. It's going to do all of this. You're going to have people, it's going to let them know if they need to assign somebody, somebody needs to do the open house for them, and so they can raise their hand or contact each other, do open houses, all of these kinds of things. Communicative tool, also one that brings ROI, double ending deals in a compliant manner. And so this is something that every single brokerage in a 2024 world needs. And we're launching something real soon where we're only allowing so many within each market. So get on it now before it's too late. Take a chance. Go on over to firstup.com, F-Y-R-S-T-U-P.com. Extremely affordable as a brokerage. But when you talk about ROI, return investment, every single one of you at the sound of my voice needs to be using firstup.com. You won't regret it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on. About industry news still. So we received some news unexpectedly. Actually, you received it. This kind of sounds bad, like going into that. You received it and you shared it with me. Definitely a shocker. And I think we should touch on it.
Oh, yes.
We should touch on it because this, obviously, huh? This is a great, great friend of yours. I mean, you guys have done business together for so long, partnered together on so many things.
You're talking about Nick Bailey being let go at Remax. Yeah. Yeah. By the way, friend of both of ours.
Oh, amazing people.
Vacation with them.
Hannah, love them. Yeah.
Yeah, love them. Like, we've done New Year's Eve with them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you got the news unexpectedly. I didn't see
I got the message. So I had been in meetings all day. I was super busy. I hadn't checked my emails. I hadn't checked my text. Like, literally, the only person I was responding to was you or my kids. Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen anything. And then I got a text message that said, is Nick okay? Mm-hmm. And I was like, my initial reaction was like, oh my God, like, he got hurt.
It's
he
like, got, okay. Yeah. Yeah, so like, that was your, yeah.
You know, like, yeah. Like, I was like, this isn't good, you know? Yeah. And found out that
he called him right away, text him right away.
Yeah, yeah, we immediately. Yeah. He was let go at Remax. And
Tom, did you hear about this? Yeah.
Okay, so if you could see inside my head right now, I have a lot to say that I won't say on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Okay. Obviously, there's a lot that goes into that.
Yeah.
Let me say this. I obviously don't agree with it.
Well, there has been some things that put out.
Yeah, that were just
nonsense.
I don't want to touch on all that stuff, yeah. But it's nonsense. But mm-hmm. But two sides to this. I don't agree with it. I felt like Nick was the right person for that job. And they hired a new CEO of Holdings and new people come in, everybody's at risk, you know? That's it. That's how it is. I will say that the position was given to Amy Lessinger, who is also a good friend of
which
both of ours.
Love. Yeah.
And so when I got the news, I was very torn because I was very sad for Nick and I was very happy for her personally. And I believe the text I actually sent to her was, hey, wow, what a day. But on a personal side, congrats to you, mm-hmm. you know? And I meant that. Like, I mean, you and I both legitimately love Amy. Like, if you know Amy, you love
she's
Amy.
Great,
Amy
yeah.
is a sweetheart. Amy is awesome. Like, she's a genuine person. Mm-hmm. Me saying I didn't think, you know, it was shocker and it wasn't right and, I, you know, whatever, is not anything against...
Absolutely not against her.
We love Amy. Yeah, like, you know this. Like, you and I, mm-hmm. we've said how many times, we got to make time to go, like, because she always says, like, come out to my ranch.
Just moved out to Denver.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, we're like, we got to do that. We got to, you know, mm-hmm. and then just life gets in the way, whatever. You know, she would, like, come ride horses with me. Yeah. You know, come do, you know.
You don't want to see me on a horse, Amy. Please. Yeah, yeah. I've never been on one. Don't know if I can handle it.
If I get up, it'd be like an Old Spice commercial. But... So I just want to be very clear. Like, we love Amy. That's not what we're saying. That's not what we're saying. I'm just saying that that was a shocker. And when people get new jobs, anybody's at risk, you know? And Nick will land on his feet.
As he always does.
Nick is in the prime of his career. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He's in the prime of his career. He has a ton of relationships, a ton of, you know, whatever. He's a skilled talent. Mm-hmm. I look at it not because of Amy taking over, but more about Nick not being there, because before you had both of them. I look at it as a net loss for Remax. But having said that, I still root for them. I'm speaking at R4. And, you know, look, I worked with Remax when I was an agent. I obviously work with all brands, you know. Mm-hmm. I do all the brands events. When I was in Portugal, I was doing 121 for C21. You know, I'm going to do Howard Hanna coming up. I'm coming to do, you know, like, I work with all the brands, obviously. But I will root for them because we have so many agents and otherwise that work with them. And so I want them to do well, and I will do everything I can to help them do well. You know, obviously, I love Nick. He's a personal friend of mine, right? And then my job is obviously what I do with the network. And I want the network to do well regardless of decisions that are made and otherwise.
Absolutely.
And so I'll be doing just like I always do, working my butt off to train them and help them and work with them. And we've got students with them. We've got brokerages with them. We've got brokerages that use First Up. We've got...
It just might look a little different.
Yeah. It'll be a little weird at R4, like him not being there. But I guess we'll get used to it. He'll land on his feet and I'll do whatever I can for him as a friend.
Amy just needs to come in like parachuting.
Amy needs to come in parachuting. No, she comes
perfect.
In riding on a horse.
Or
on, a
horse.
On a white horse, like an old Western. Maybe that'll be the new thing.
They look like siblings.
she's going to have to dye her hair red, period.
Yeah,
she's
right?
just going to have to dye her hair red like Nick did. guys, Nick didn't dye his hair red. I'm just kidding.
And
that was
Amy's
his
hair.
Hair
is red. So.
Fortunately for him, he was born with red hair. But.
No, but I mean, obviously, like, it's like a bittersweet.
For anybody out there listening with red hair, that's a joke between Nick and I. I'm not actually joking about you. It's just a joke we have.
But excited for Amy.
Excited for Amy. I'll still be working with the network, doing all sorts of stuff like we do.
I'm looking forward to seeing where Nick lands. Like,
Yeah. Like I said, there's a lot I can't say, because I was just kind of, you know, I got all your messages, guys. If I didn't respond to everybody, I'm sorry, but it's just
you are so like influential on the RE/MAX brand. It's always been like you and Nick on a road show. You and doing, I mean, so I felt like
I go somewhere, they're like, where's your boy? He goes somewhere, they're like, where's your boy? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so.
I'll miss that, but he'll land somewhere, and yeah.
Yeah.
You know, to me, it's a benefit to the agents. You know, I love that kind of stuff. I think there's something about having fun, but also, you know, knowing what you're doing. And I'll miss that there with him. I'm sure it's going to happen somewhere else, but yeah. I'll miss that there. But it doesn't mean that we won't still have other memories there. And like I said, Amy's awesome. So, like, I'm really looking forward to seeing what she does. Mm-hmm. And I meant it when I said it. Like, I am personally happy for her.
Yeah.
You know? Although whenever somebody takes a job like that, it's like when someone takes over is, I'm the next president of the blank Association of Realtors. I don't know whether to say congratulations or God bless you.
My boss, when I worked at the MLS, she always said, because I was asked to take over as an AE.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about it, and she's all, my advice, always play number two. It's safer.
Oh.
And number two is always safer. Don't ever be number one.
That's so true.
And quite honestly, it's one of the reasons why I didn't actually interview with the board of directors.
Such good advice.
And why I resigned, ended up resigning. And it's true. Number one is not a safe position to be in.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to use the podcast to do this, but we've decided to replace you at first up, actually.
No, but there's a lot of
trust. Tom, you want to take over?
Absolutely.
I'm just saying there's a lot of truth in that. There's a lot of eyeballs, you know, on people.
No doubt.
I mean, going having a drink
for
fun, and you happen to say something that...
Do you know what's funny? I think I can share this. Like, I think I can share this. You know what Nick said to me one time? So those lists come out, most influential, most powerful, most whatever, right? Do you know what he said to me once? So we were both on this list, right? And he literally said to me, he goes, guys like you are the real powerful ones. And I'm going to make this make sense in a second. I'm not saying it's whatever, but his point was so true, because it reminded me of something my father told me years ago. He goes, yeah, I'm up there. I'm like number eight, number whatever he was or whatever in the industry. And he goes, I can get fired tomorrow. Mm-hmm. He goes, and you're still around, you know, like, because you have your own thing. Like, that's how it goes. And I was appreciative of that perspective, but it reminded me of something my father said to me. My father said to me years ago, he was working at NASDAQ, and every time he thought he was going to leave, they gave him more stock options. Mm-hmm. They just keep dangling the carrot. And one time in like a real serious moment, like a real moment, he looked at me and he's like, you know, you're doing it right. And I was stressed from trying to build my companies and do whatever. I'm like, what are you talking about? You get this cozy freaking check every week. You have stock options. You have retirement. You have whatever, right? Like, and he goes, they can get rid of me tomorrow.
You're replaceable.
Yep. Yeah. He goes, think about it. I got this job because they got rid of my person on each region of the country. They got rid of them all and made me the head over everything. But everybody else lost their job. Mm-hmm. They can get rid of me tomorrow. He goes, no one can get rid of you. Now you're going to have stress. No one can get rid of you.
Yeah.
That's always stuck with me, right?
That's so true.
And at the end, it ended up, you know, with Nick, it ended up happening. And it was out of no fault of his own or anything that he could have done or whatever. And it came true. And he's, like I said, he's going to land on his feet.
He will.
You know? But it is an interesting thing where you're right. It's like when you're number one, when you work, you know, for someone, they can...
The board of directors are your boss.
Board of directors can... You get on the wrong side. You don't see them. They're not on the list, but they can... Mm-hmm. Good day to you.
I know.
In the words of Willy Wonka.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I didn't go for the AE position. You know, it wasn't a safe position. And, you know, and quite honestly, I'm a risk taker. I like risks, but it's not one that I would put my family in at the time.
It's so interesting that you're right, though, because I see Nick is very much like, he likes to take chances. He likes to do things, whatever. And it's just so different when you are running a publicly traded company. Like, you answer to that board, and you answer to, I can make mistakes here and go, all right, guys, we're going to pivot. We're going to change.
Absolutely.
We're going to whatever. And everybody's like, all right, let's do it. Whatever. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine. I said on a recent podcast, I said, in every very successful person, there's a little bit of crazy. Mm-hmm. When you answer to other people who are waiting for you to misstep or waiting for you to do something they don't like, you can't exercise that crazy.
Oh, yeah. Especially if you want to pivot, because you believe it's best. It's still a voting decision based on the board of directors.
And you got numbers you're reporting in the quarter, and here's for the shareholders, and here's for the,
absolutely.
And so, I feel, that's why I said, when it comes to Amy or any of those, I don't know whether to say congratulations or God bless you, because
good luck.
It's amazing career achievement, and then it's also just the stress that comes with that. Mm-hmm. Who was it who said, the crown is heavy? You know, there was an old saying, like people would say, like, you know, it was repeated in The Departed by Jack Nicholson. But it's an old saying, like, the crown is heavy. And what does it mean? It's like everybody's like, there's the king. Oh, look at that guy. He's amazing. He's power. He's all powerful. And from his perspective, he's going, the crown is heavy. And he's talking about the stress. He's talking mm-hmm. about everybody relies on you. Every problem comes to your You know, it's like being the president of the United States. Everybody's like, oh, my God, everywhere you go, they play the music and stand when you walk in. And yet every morning you wake up to, Mr. President, problems, problems, more problems, Mr. President, more problems mm-hmm. every single morning.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like I'd rather not walk into a room with music playing and not wake up to that every day. And so you just have to weigh it. It's always, you know, speaking of weighing
and problems.
Not talking about not talking about health, but, you know, another common theme right now in our industry and something I've been talking about lately is this whole homes.com Zillow and thing.
Zillow.
So yeah. Homes.com invested almost $1 billion in a marketing campaign through the Super Bowl and other things and endorsements and all this other kind of stuff that they're doing. And there's an interesting thing happening right now because Homes.com's whole theme is your listing, your lead. If your listings are on our portal, the leads go to you, which is like what so many agents get angry at Zillow for. But I look at it a little differently. You know, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. And when you look at Zillow with their situation, how they're positioned right now, where the majority of their revenue, almost the majority of the revenue comes from agents paying for areas and getting buyer leads and such. What happens in a world if the DOJ gets involved and now everybody requires a buyer agency agreement to where the buyer has to sign an agreement with the buyer's agent for their exact commission and what they're going to pay them? It's no longer by the seller. And now that has to be done up front. You need a signed piece of paper before you can show a house, before you can talk about a house. What happens to a place like Zillow where the majority of their revenue comes from selling buyer leads to agents where now a buyer agent can't talk to those people unless they get something signed? Kind of kills the business model, mm-hmm. which means that, you know, and I trust that they'll be able to, this is what they've done several times, they're going to have to pivot.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what do they pivot to? Do they pivot to majority seller leads? Do they pivot to hiring agents? They've already had agents, but now just only hiring their own agents and having some kind of a waiver that you sign in order to get on Zillow that you have to sign beforehand, so any buyer they assign you to, you now have a built-in agreement with them.
Small print agreement.
But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, though. That's barrier to entry. If you're going to start having a signature required, some kind of a waiver or a form signed, and you're in a war right now with Homes.com, which they are. CoStar has all the money in the world, and Homes.com is coming for them, right? And you're now going to create a barrier to entry to where if I go to Zillow's site, I've got to fill out a form and do where if I go to homes.com, it's nice and simple and easy. And so I'm so interested, and I'm not Nostradamus, like, I don't know, but I'm interested in looking at how these rules, if they get enacted, will affect not only the industry, but the third parties in the industry, places like Zillow in these places, and the war with homes.com and Zillow, and what does that look like? And I'm interested because there's going to be some real business 101 coming as far as how they pivot and what they do to remain, you know, to retain market share and revenue.
So I'm not too familiar with homes.com, very familiar with Zillow. How does homes.com support buyer agents then? How do they, if it's your listing, your lead, how do they, those that are predominantly a buyer agent have team of buyer, like only work with buyers, how do they support?
Well, generally speaking, when you have those listings, most people are not just listing agents. Okay, so
correct. Yeah,
so,
they're on a team though.
No, so they're gonna be representing that buyer, or if they have a team, it's gonna go to the team. Okay, as far as their exact model, I literally because I put out some videos lately on my social channels, and somebody from CoStar reached out to me, and they're like, you know. She actually said, the people in our office, they're all watching your videos right now as far as what's going on. We love seeing this, whatever. I would love to jump on and do like a demo with you and show you exactly what we do, how we do it, where we're going and whatever. And so come back to me.
Oh, so we don't know.
Okay. I told her when I got back from when I got back from Mexico that I will.
I'm just curious, how do they support an agent that really is just getting in the industry? A lot of agents just getting in either are their network, their Rolodex is family.
Yeah.
Are you listening or are you buying?
Yeah.
Like, but how do I go to homes.com and use it as a buyer's tool?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I think Zillow is, I don't know, I would be curious to see, like, who has the market.
Yeah.
Versus ZillowHomes.com, but Zillow
has... Zillow has the market right now. That's not even a whatever. Okay. But remember, Homes.com now, in the portal wars, quickly went past everybody and moved into number two.
Correct, but it's, I think, is it more so because they were, there's a lot of acquisitions that happened as well.
No.
Underneath...
They made acquisitions, true, yes. But that's not why they moved into number two. They definitely had money to spend, consumer experience. They became agent-friendly, which makes agents promote them, and they're spending money like crazy. And so forever, Zillow didn't have a match. You know, it was like, oh, ZillowRealtor.com. That was not a match. Zillow was dominating, you know? Like, it wasn't. Now they have a true match.
But correct and the reason- me, wasn't Homes.com purchased by CoStar?
Correct.
That's what I'm saying. I think because of the acquisition— money flew
Oh, I thought you meant them buying other places.
No, money flew in because
that's literally where I was
company.
Going next. Yeah. Was that because they were purchased by CoStar, you now have a big daddy.
Exactly.
You have CoStar, which owns LoopNet, which dominates the commercial world, which owns Apartments.com, which dominates the rent, which mm-hmm. owns, like, you got a big daddy now. And mm-hmm. so Homes.com is now going, we've got the funding now. Like, we're coming
Correct.
For you. Okay. And so now, in my mind, it's a real match now. It's an actual heavyweight fight.
That's so interesting. I wouldn't.
Because none of those places could compete with Zillow.
Prior to the acquisition, and we don't know this, but it'd be so interesting if there was a conversation between CoStar and Zillow that just didn't happen. And he's like, great, then I'll go to your next best. I'll go to the next best.
As far as CoStar buying Zillow?
Yeah. I wonder, and we don't know, but yeah. I wonder if there was that conversation and now there's like, because like, why would they go to second best, third best?
Well, because purchase Homes.com.
Price. I know, but I'm just saying.
Because remember, what they did was they bought HomeSnap yes. as well. And, yeah. and what a lot of the feedback from the agents right now is that the UI experience, whatever, is not as good as it was on HomeSnap. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's what you hear from a lot of agents. When agents hear me talk about Homes.com and such, they're like, oh, but it's still just... Could they just bring back HomeSnap? So it's going to be interesting now moving forward if that money is not only put into advertising to the consumer, which $1 billion, you know, to get them over to the platform, but also do they start using that money to make it extremely user-friendly the way that agents loved HomeSnap? Yeah. And I would be shocked if they didn't. I'm kind of making a play that I think they will. I'm making a bet that they will make that play. But time will tell. And that's why this is so interesting right now.
I mean,
it's
they,
like the
if
unknowns.
They pay attention to the adoption rate, the user rate, the clicks, the drops, all yeah. of that, then sure, they're forced
you
to.
You've got to believe. If you look at what they've done with every other company, you've got to believe that they're going to.
Yeah.
You've got to. So anyway, it's an interesting world right now. Another thing I want to talk about is – you know, we did on the real estate front, you know, I did a video where I talked about capital gains and got a lot of views, a lot of whatever. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize that with capital gains, when you live in a home for 2 out of the last 5 years as your primary residence, if you're a person who files taxes individually, you get up to a $250,000 exemption from taxes. Meaning if I buy the property for $200 and I sell it for $500, well, I only pay taxes on $50,000 because $250,000 is covered, right? And if you're a married couple, it's $500,000. But a lot of the comments that came in on that video, which were really so interesting, and I don't know why I never thought of this, but it's just true. Should there be different rules for those capital gains exemptions based on, number one, where you live, where it's different price points? Mm-hmm. $250,000 is different in Mississippi than it is in Mrs. California, okay? Like, it's just mm-hmm. different, right? And then also, should it be adjusted based on the fact that prices aren't what they were back when it was made? Mm-hmm. Now, me personally, I don't think they'll adjust it because that would lower the money coming into the government. If the government looked at it and said, at the time that we created this, the average price point was $217,000. So we're going to give a $250,000 for an individual and a $500,000 for a married couple, and that should cover everybody. You're not penalized for moving. You're not. But the climate has changed so much where now it's like, how can we get more taxes from people? How can we get them to pay? That now, if you look at the average price point, is $434,000. Let's just say it doubled. Well, really, that exemption should have changed from $250,000 to $500,000, and the $500,000
right.
should have
yeah.
changed to $1 million. But the culture and the mindset has changed so much that it's like, nope, more taxes coming to us. When that defeats the whole purpose of why that was created. And so the question becomes, should there now be adjustments on those capital gains exemptions because there's been adjustments on the price of a property?
Now that's what the DOJ should be looking at, right? Stuff like that.
And that's the kind of thing that the DOJ should be looking at yeah. that actually benefits the consumer rather than messing up the real estate transaction, which hurts the consumer. Mm-hmm. But will they do it? Mm-hmm. I have yet to see the government do something that goes, well, this will bring us less taxes. Let's do it. Haven't seen that yet. Love to see it. Haven't seen it yet. So what's going to happen?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, we got to move it on here because we have a dinner party tonight.
We do. But before we do that, I'm stressed about.
Okay.
Okay. I'm stressed about the dinner party.
Stressed about the dinner party? I got my boy's girlfriends coming over tonight, so we're having a nice little
Mediterranean feast.
Mediterranean
meal. It'll be fun. Before that, the other day, I think coming back from the gym or going to the gym or getting coffee, whatever it was, we talked about our greatest skill sets.
Oh, you're talking about our conversation the other day in the car.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's talk about that. Elaborate.
Okay. So you and I were talking in the car, and you were asking me about what I think one of my greatest skill sets are, like whatever. What do you think separates you? And when I answered you, your exact response was, you need to say that on the podcast.
Put it down in our notes fast. Let's do it.
So you wanted to know what my greatest skill set was. And we'll end with this because we do have to get going here. I think that one of my greatest skills has always been probably not what most people would think it is. You know, when people go, oh, it's leadership, it's this, it's that, it's, you know, whatever. I think one of my greatest abilities, one of my greatest skills is pattern recognition. That's what I've always been really good at, you know, where I am able both for the positive and the negative to recognize patterns and the results of those patterns.
So give us an example.
And then making a decision to either continue on or to, well, I mean, look at what we were talking about in the beginning of this podcast.
Yeah.
Some people get involved in health groups, have all the hopes in the world, and die off in 9 days. What did I say to you today? We were at the gym, and we were running on the treadmill.
Yeah.
And I had gotten to the 4 mile mark, and I'm sweating, and I'm whatever. And most people at that point would sit there and go, "Whew, great workout! I'm feeling it." And in my head, pattern recognition, I started looking at history and past and whatever. I started looking at, and I remembered that interview with Muhammad Ali, where Muhammad Ali was going to defend his title. And the reporter asks him, so, you know, in preparation for this fight, how many push-ups do you do? How many sit-ups do you do? And he says, I don't count. And then he stops himself and he goes, that's not true. I don't count until it hurts, because that's the only time it counts. And me, always remembering that, always knowing that, looking at that pattern of when everybody else would stop, he would push, 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 because that's when it counted. Sat there at the 4 mile mark, hurting as could be, sweating, could easily throw in the towel and go, look at me, everybody. And I went, it finally counts. This is when it counts. This is like bonus time. This is it, right? Mm-hmm. And so I've done it in that sense when it comes to things personally or working out or whatever, but then I also do it when it comes to business. You know, like when we've had to let people go or things have happened, like I'll talk to Tom or I'll talk to you and I'll be like, hey, this is what's going to happen. They're going to do this. They're going to do whatever. We need to make sure we cover this. We need to whatever. It's just all pattern record. It's not that you're some brainiac, you know, whatever it is. It's like, I'm just like, seen it.
Yeah.
Know how we should do this now, right? And so I'm not the greatest at always doing things perfect the first time, but I am really good at recognizing patterns and saying, that's the way we do that from now on. This is, you know, and that's in everything. I'm not talking just business. I'm just talking personal. I'm talking, I like an eagle. I just watch patterns of people and I look at the results and then I look for ways to plug those in my own life. And it has served me well. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I watch my own patterns.
Yeah.
That's self-awareness. I watch others' patterns. I watch my patterns. I watch like I'm very, you can testify to this. I am very regimented. Mm-hmm. When I'm on a schedule, when I'm on a, like every day, same thing, every, you know, whatever, like order the same thing, do the whatever. Like I'm about those patterns because they deliver predictable results, right? Mm-hmm. And isn't that what we all want? Like there's some things where we want variety. One of the 6 basic human needs, variety. Mm-hmm. You know, like we want variety. We want to change things up. We want to, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, we need consistency and we need to know what to expect. And we need to know, well, how do you find out what to expect? You just look at the pattern. If I go and I put together all of the ingredients for bread and I follow that pattern and I put it in the oven, if I put it in the oven and then I go, everybody, cupcakes, ha-da! And then I pull it out and I go, where's the cupcakes? Well, you followed the pattern for bread. Therefore, you got bread. That is the simplest way that I can explain how pattern recognition works. In every area of your life, you are creating bread or you're creating something else. And it's the ingredients and the pattern you follow, and it's the degrees that you set it to, and it's how many minutes you put it in, and it's how many – it all matters. Mm-hmm. And so just like we understand that in the kitchen, we need to understand that everywhere. And so what I think I do really well, and I do better than most, just because I pay attention to it, it's just pattern recognition. I just see what's happening, and I'm like, there it is. Got it. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know how to make lasagna now.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay? And it's that simple. So – there you go for the podcast.
I love just asking random questions like that in the car.
I know you do. I know you do. I see when you go into that mode too.
What do you like? It's always something. And I when we have these great conversations, and it gets me. I just get to know you a little deeper.
Yeah, I actually I enjoy it. I almost feel like we do like a little. What's that show on Bravo with the guy who does the interviews of the actors?
Andy.
The Actors Studio.
It's not Andy.
With no, he's getting canceled right now. he actually is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, apparently. Who knows if it's true or not, but he's got all sorts of stuff going on now where he was doing blow and asking people to watch him have sex. And
okay.
Well, we don't know if it's true or not, but it's all you have to do is accuse, so who knows? which I hope is not true. Anyways. He's John Mayer's best friend.
Aww.
Inside the Actor's Studio with...
Don't know.
Ah. Can't remember
bummer.
Right
someone
now.
Please comment below.
Anyway, I can
know
tell.
The show, but I think you're talking about Andy Cohen.
No, that's the guy we're talking about before. No, that's the guy we're talking about
before. I was saying Andy
Cohen, but he's getting canceled right now.
Oh, he's getting canceled.
No, I'm talking about Inside the Actor's Studio, which is the show on Bravo, which was the
someone
one where he would interview actors, and it was like a big, in-depth, deep type of. They even did a thing on him on SNL. It's just driving me crazy. But anyway, you guys. So you guys know. I know when you go into that mode. Because you have different personalities. That sounds bad. Like, you're not multiple personalities. No, but you, like all people, you have different sides to you. Mm-hmm. And I get, like, last night, you were in, like, a lovey mode. Like, you just couldn't. You just, like, hugging him. Like, you just wouldn't stop, right? Which I love. And then other times, you're in a serious, like, other times, you're in a business mode. Other times, you're in mom mode. Other times, you're in, you know. When you go into that mode, yeah. When you start asking questions, I'm like, oh, she's in that mode
like,
now.
One day, I was like, so, how are you? And you're like, what? Like, no, how are you?
I'm like, what is it? Where's this
what's
going?
What's going on?
What's going on here?
I just want to know.
anyway, we've got Mediterranean food to make. We've got Mexico to get to.
And then
to.
We have game night.
We're doing game night tonight.
What's
that old saying? If you're not willing to lose friends over a board game, you're not playing hard enough.
Oh, I never heard that.
That's 100% true.
My boys and their girlfriends are about to find out what it's like to feel defeat.
Well, it is a couples game, so hopefully they don't.
But then you better
everything
bring it.
Everything goes. Oh, okay.
You better bring it.
No pressure.
Okay. didn't go there to lose to my boys and their girls. Okay. either way, guys, thank you for watching, listening, however you're doing this. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you give a review. All of that stuff. We love you guys. Whatever platform you're watching on, we'll keep doing this.
Yeah.
A lot of valuable info on here. A lot of current stuff happening. So there's plenty to talk about. So
I know.
Hope I'll see you at an upcoming event. Hopefully we'll get a chance to have a lot of you as users on FirstUp, FYRSTUP.com. If your broker is not using that within your brokerage yet, get on it. Hopefully we'll get a lot of you as coaching students and brokerage-wide coaching. And we started giving out free transactions on cleared and closed
and for
transaction coordinators.
Market. There's some like big stuff happening.
We launched today, actually. We're allowing people to get a free transaction using one of our transaction coordinators with no.
Tom, is this true?
Yep. Okay. No contract, no nothing. Do the consult with one of our TCs, transaction coordinators. They'll create a custom workflow for you. And then you get to experience them.
Free
see if they're good. We are the real estate's crack addicts. Like, we are giving out free crack,
that's
getting
good.
You hooked. And then from now on, you'll have a TC.
Everyone get
that's what should be on the site. We are real estate's crack dealers.
Do it.
On that note. All right, guys. We love you. Thanks for listening.
All right. Bye.
Talk to you.
Thanks so much for listening. Please take a moment and go to www.connectwithjared.com to connect with Jared James on all the platforms you are active on. And please remember to subscribe and leave a positive review on the platform you are listening on if you enjoyed the podcast.